Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I'm having an old guest. I had a guest on before when we did the lottery. Him and his wife came on, and now I'm bringing back this brother again. He was a groomsman in my wedding, so we've had a better relationship from the first time we did an interview, and now I'm checking up on him again and seeing where he is at in this walk with Yahuwah. What's up, my brother Matt?
What's going on, family? Happy to be back.
So we're going to get right into it. As a married man now, and now that we on the same level since being married, right, what are the trials and tests that we as married men have to go through now that we're in this walk with Yahuwah?
Man, there's a lot, I would say. I would say it's comparable to being in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. As the Most High, when he brought everybody out of Mizraim, it's your own personal wilderness. Mm-hmm. It's just you and your spouse, right? And in that process, you are trying to align and become, you know, equally yoked as you are learning one another. So through that process, the Most High is going to let you be still, and he's going to see how you lead. He's going to see how you communicate through difficult challenges, and he's going to use your woman as a sharpening tool to strengthen your weaknesses. Mm. And that's not going to feel good at first, you know, because you're kind of expecting things to kind of just be aligned and smooth, and we shouldn't really have bumps in the road. And again, for the most part, it is smooth. Don't get me wrong. It's not like the whole thing goes sideways or anything like that. Mm. But there are going to be some stumbling blocks that peek their head out. And in that, he wants to see how you react. What do you turn to during those difficult times? How do you, like I said, with my wife, a big thing was my communication, right? So when I felt that there was something, you know, wrong, or I didn't like something, you know, I felt validated in trying to provide correction. But the way I was speaking with my correction, she wasn't receiving what I was saying. The minute my tone or my voice raised, it was like a wall went up. And even though I was speaking truth, you can tell it just bounced off her. So Most High was challenging me to see that Yahusha spirit and how he communicated and with that compassion, even though inside, you know, you feel kind of disrespected, you feel, you know, frustrated. He wants you to go through that so that when you come out on the other end, you see why he wanted you to do it, and it's all worth it. Right.
And did you feel any of this correction or any trials and tests in your previous relationships before you met Yahuwah? Like, what was life like in a relationship before Yahuwah? Because we lived lawlessly, and we felt like we could do whatever we want, and we didn't receive any correction unless it's for our own good. So how was that life like before relationships with Yahuwah?
Man, it would have been straight destruction. I wouldn't have known it until it hit me in the face. And that's where that was, where he'll let you go. And you think we can, as men, we think we got it, you know, under control. We go under wraps, you know, and when we're not living righteously, Yahuwah's going to say, all right, you're going to find out. Mm-hmm. And for me in my relationship, I kind of touched on it the last time I was on the last podcast. You know, I got to a point where I got so frustrated and you know, I couldn't communicate. I was asking for something from my wife with the communication. I just couldn't get it to a point where I just said, well, shoot, I'm about to essentially step out. Mm-hmm. And when I decided to do that, thank the Most High, he prevented me from doing it. But in that turn, he punished me by giving me, you know, that skin condition of eczema. Mm-hmm. For a good period of time where I never had any issues with my skin. But because I made that choice without clinging to Yahuwah, instead of going to Yahuwah about my problems and asking him to guide me and direct me, I said, I'm going to operate my flesh. I'll find, you know, another woman that's, you know, feeling me and this, that, and the other. I already put it in my mind that I tried the right steps to try to, you know, fix things in my relationship. And that was me being in my flesh. And it was completely wrong. And if it wasn't for the Most High's mercy, I probably wouldn't be married right now. So, you know, all praises to him for preventing that. But I still deserve the punishment that I received. And through that, it showed me the Most High's power and then how we have to endure in this walk, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's the walk itself. The endurance is key. And again, there's gonna be parts of the walk where you really feel like, dang, man, like is this worth it essentially? But that's what he wants, man. He wants to get you in that wilderness where you, like how Yahushua was out there being tested for those 40 days and 40 nights. He wants you to feel that. So if you cling to him through all that, man, he's gonna be with you and he's gonna bless you in the end.
How were you with your relationships? Well, how were you with women even before Yahuwah? Would you say you were a nice guy? Would you say like you weren't like
Yeah.
a womanizer or anything? Like, how were you in the with women?
Right. Yeah, I would say that I was more of a nice guy, but I was very like selective. Even though I had a lustful heart where I was waiting for a woman to give me a sign, like, the eyes, give me something that you're, interested, and then I would pursue it. But for whatever reason, I just wasn't getting what I was seeking. So I was like, well, I'm not about to force anything. I wasn't the type of dude that's just gonna come up and, holler at a female and be like, hey, sorry, I wasn't that type of dude. So I needed some type of sign that a female was feeling me or was interested in me before I would even entertain it. So once I, would find women, I would, treat them well. But again, a lot of those girls, they weren't ready for a man that was like that. They were looking for the bad boys or whatever the case was. And I was just like, all right, well, I'm just going to, even though I was seeking that relationship and seeking, I mean, again, I was lustful. I didn't act on it. So I'm not saying I was perfect, because I mean, high school, college, I did have, a body count. It wasn't extremely high. But that was the gist of it. So I had somewhat of a control over my flesh, even in my past, when I wasn't truly seeking Yahuwah. I was able to control my flesh, which I think helped me in the long run, because if I would have got those looks and all, it would have been a whole different story.
So the relationship issues you had in your previous relationships didn't really manifest themselves in the wife you had now. Like the weaknesses that you had in your previous relationships, you didn't have to really deal with that in the wife that you have now, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay, so you back up my whole theology of just one example, how I was telling people on the episode before. I said, when you out here treating women badly, you would have to deal with how another man that's just like you dealt with your wife, and now you have to conquer the things that you didn't conquer with the woman before. So that's how I was kind of like, it's good to have a if you want to be, I wouldn't say sinful or a bad behavior, but if you're going to be that guy, be a guy that's consistent in his behavior towards women. When you are all over the place and you're in extremes, you're going to deal with those same extremes in the wife that you get, because the Most High wants to prove you. If that's mostly like judgment, like this is what you have to handle since you didn't handle it with the women that you had before. So, where do you feel like something you struggle with in your relationships to, with now? Like, is there anything that comes up constantly that you have to continually defeat?
Sure. Everything you just said was facts. But to answer your question, I would say being still in the face of disrespect. That was my biggest challenge. And again, it's not that I don't want to get the wrong impression as if my wife is like, disrespecting me. No, we're talking out of 100%. We're talking, 10% of the time where a conversation just gets out of hand and just like, hey, like, why are you communicating like that? And from there, it's how do I respond? How do I handle that situation? So even when I feel disrespected in a moment, I can't operate off that emotion, right? Because I think that's what the enemy is trying to get all of us to do. It's slip into that snare, right? Look around the world. Everybody, man, woman, everybody's so emotional, man. And they're just ready to pop off at any little thing. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to draw you out so that he can catch you in the snare when you operate off of emotion. So that's been the biggest challenge for me, is in like these small things. And most of our, as a married man now, most of your fights are over nothing, right? It's small stuff that then turns into big stuff, and then it turns into how you're communicating, and the whole thing gets flipped real quick. And it's over small stuff. It's not nothing big, but that's the continuing of the purging, right? So that's probably been The biggest, I guess you'd say, struggle for me is just being still in the face of in the face of disrespect. And I'll bring up an example in the movies, the movie Four Brothers, with Tyrese, Mark Wahlberg, Andre 3000, right? When their mother was killed, right? And then they had the rival gang come knock on the door, and he screamed, "Oh, your mother's a whore!" And then gave the finger to the youngest brother, and the youngest brother, as I mean, operating off of emotion, somebody just disrespected their mom. He then came out of the house to go after the guy, and what happened? The guy turned around with a gun, shot him. So that's what I'm trying to conquer in that sense, where you can still feel that shock wave of emotion in the moment, but being able to not operate off that, regain that self-control, that Yahusha spirit. And even if you're boiling on the inside, you find a way to control it and find a righteous way to handle it. That's been the task.
I think because there's a lot of brothers out there. There's a brother that I talk to randomly sometimes, and he tells me about the disrespect that his wife gives him, even when he's trying to do all the right things. And like you said, it's to be still in disrespect, but where do you go from there? Like, how do you handle it? Do you keep going to Yahoo, or do you breadcrumb this woman into submission? Like, I know our women are just. When it comes to correction, our women are just, it's so hard for them to take it. So it's almost like you got to breadcrumb them. Like you got to Hansel and Gretel the information and hopefully they get it. But it's like what my wife told me, said, when it comes to behavioral issues, she just goes to Yah. And I like the same thing with me. And hope like over time, being patient and being still will Yah bring in the truth and bring in the information needed for that behavior to change. Like, so where do men go from there? Is it just we got to be just be patient and still and quiet, or when do we put our hands up like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself.
It's a blend. It's definitely a process of patience at first, because again, Most High wants to see how you're going to react as well, where you're trying to provide that correction in a different manner. You're trying to give something that maybe will stick, right? And then it might stick for a week or 2 weeks or a month, and then all of a sudden it goes away, and it's picked its head up again, and you got to deal with it again. That's that struggle, like we talked about. A couple of weeks ago, with Most High wants us to feel what he has felt with Yasharel and their disobedience, even though he's corrected them time and time again. Here they go. They're good 1 year, they fall off the next year. It's just he wants us to feel that, so he understands, we understand truly how unworthy we are of his love, and of his mercy, of his grace, of Yahushua HaMashiach, for sending his son for us like that. So there's a part of it that he wants you to kind of struggle through it a little bit, where you're going to be patient, breadcrumb it. But then there's also a point where you might get to the point where, like you said, you're about to throw the hands up. And at that point, let the Ruach guide you. Because from me and my example, there was a time where, we had to take the dogs for a walk with me and my wife, and I just try to have a conversation where it was more of a breadcrumb. And it got to the point where my Ruach just took over, and it was more of a stronger, truthful correction. But it was like no games are being played. There was no disrespect, but there was like that male authority of the household, where it's like, listen, enough is enough. That tongue has to be corrected. Like, we gotta recognize this. You wouldn't speak to your father like this, so why are you speaking to me like this? If you gotta kind of bring that mirror up. So you got to really let your Ruach guide you through that process. But to sum it up, there are going to be times where you think you're doing everything right. You're, like I said, being patient with her. You're trying to be soft-hearted, soft-spoken. And there's times where it might work a little bit. There's times where they'll just let it go in one ear out the other and play the victim card. The emotional card will come out. Whatever you're talking about will be flipped on its head. And you just have to learn to be still, which has been a struggle for me, but again, it's building me to be a better man and a better husband.
I think this is what we both share. I know husbands share this, and some husbands may not know this, is that you have to pay attention to your woman's patterns. All women have patterns. They're especially in conflict. You know exactly what they're going to go to. You know exactly You know, whatever they're gonna hold over your head, you know, they're gonna go to that place. They're gonna go back 4 or 5 months ago for something that you did. You gotta know your woman's patterns when it comes to arguing. And this is how you can acquire the patience and the rock of wisdom and understanding, because you know where she's gonna go, especially when she knows she's wrong. So you have to let her go through these processes of trying to take it off her and put it on you, but you have to be patient, like you said, still in the face of disrespect, because you know that's where she's going to go. Have you understood your woman's patterns when it comes to arguing?
Facts. It's definitely a pattern, and they know which buttons to push, my brother. They know exactly what to push. So yes, it's definitely a pattern, and again, it's part of the correction process. It's part of us becoming equally yoked, because again, the female is supposed to bring out our weaknesses, and it's only gonna make us better. Even though the Most High's purging process, when he puts us through the fire, it's not supposed to feel good. It's fire, right? It's fire. It's gonna get hot. You're gonna feel it, but it's not gonna kill you. It's not gonna kill you. That's what we have to really wrap our heads around. So yes, the pattern thing, the more you pay attention, the more you recognize, you'll be able to control that, where you already know where the argument's going, and you can kind of just stop it there. Like I try to say, like, babe, hey, not tonight. Like, we can pick this up tomorrow. Let's just let it be. And let's do this another time, rather than sticking our flags in the ground, and let's hash this out right now when she's obviously overly emotional and not ready to receive anything. And all that's gonna do is dig ourselves deeper, where we're both gonna get, more mad and more mad. So it's just like there's a point where you just say, all right, but the way we say it has to be coming from a place of love, where they can receive it. Because if we just put up that, that football talk, where we just, how we talk to each other in the locker room, like, hey, bro, knock it off. Like, they're not gonna receive that. They're gonna be like, hey, like, why are you talking to me like that? I'm your wife. And it's so you have to find that true compassion in the heat of the moment, even though she might have pushed that button, I got you ready, but you have to be able to control it. That's all.
And what wars or battles are you facing outside the home, as far as spiritual warfare?
Well, after living in a city for a decade in Atlanta, I would say again, the same principle of the patience and being still in the face of disrespect. That's what I'm seeing. Because, bro, all I see now everywhere in the city is just absolute mindlessness, and people are just so self-absorbed. I mean, obviously on the freeways, and oh, good God, just the track, like the way people just carry themselves and operate. It's as if your life doesn't exist, and they don't care what happens to you, right? So the things you'll see, and the way people would, treat you or engage with you, it's like it steps on your manhood, a little bit, where you're just like, what? So not operating again off that emotion, even though we feel as a man, like when we talked about that, what was it, the priest? Was it the priest that spit in Yahusha's face? Or somebody got, and like in that moment, bro, if that was us, you are like, if some dude came up to us on the street and spit in our face, as the men we are, that's the struggle, right? Because again, going back to what I said about the four brothers, the devil wants to bring out that emotion and catch us in a snare. And if we operate off that, well, I'm a man, nobody can talk to me like that. Like, if we operate off that, we're gonna get caught in a snare. He's gonna let us operate off that emotion, and then before we know it, we're no longer operating from that Yahusha spirit, that compassion. Now we're ready to brawl. Now again, there may be a time and place where if our life, is being infringed upon, or we feel unsafe, then we take it to that level. But that's the last, absolute last resort. That, and my struggle is, man, if somebody does something crazy on the highway, pretty much almost causing an accident, I'm ready at that point. And I'm like, hey, I gotta really take it back. Like, I gotta ease off. So being in the city has been also a test for me for the past 10 years of just being around just all these different people that again are not of the way and don't really care for self-respect or what have you. So that's been my struggle, I would say, outside of the home. It's the same struggle with inside of the home, but at a different angle, which is learning to, even when confronted with disrespect that we feel validated on operating off of, we still control that and don't act off the emotion, only act off the ruach.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to be a lot of brothers' tests, and that's why I say you might as well start coming to Yahuwah sooner. If anger or acting out is your one of your issues, you better come to it sooner, because that stupor that's going to come over the whole land is going to really show itself, and you're going to be dealing with people who want to take your life just because you have something that they don't have. And I think you have to start preparing yourself to walk away, turn your back, or just going straight to Yahushua or Yahuwah for protection and for that hedge to be built up, so you don't have to be put in these situations to be tested when your life really depends on it. Right now, it's fun and games right now. Right now, it's laughing and jokes. But when it comes to people not being able to keep lights on in their house or food on their table, they're gonna come hunting, they're gonna come seeking. So where do you think, I mean, you're moving to North Carolina, so you're gonna be in the middle of nowhere with nobody. So I feel like this is something that Yahuwah wants, is gonna do for you, so you don't have to be put in a situation where people are gonna go come next, knocking on your door like, hey, we want your stuff. Like, you're gonna be put in a beautiful situation where you don't have really no neighbors, right?
Exactly, man. I mean, all praises. And that is exactly right. Everything you said, that the life we're living right now, man, is peaches and cream compared to when the lights go out and the world's gonna show itself and what it really is, bombs drop. Like you said, no electricity, whatever the case is, we're gonna see a society that most people have never fathomed, because we've been essentially spoiled living. Like, we haven't gone through the curse, the curses. So we haven't gone through hardships. Even like our grandparents, they went through the Great Depression and other things like that. Like, we've been pretty spoiled growing up, right? So a lot of multi generations aren't really mentally, physically, spiritually prepared for when things go sideways, and it's coming. It's just, this world is cooked. There's no doubt about it. It's cooked. It's just a matter of when and the Most High's time. So, yeah, I'm beyond grateful, and truly, it's still kind of surreal that Most High's getting me up out of the city and getting me where I'm, like you said, in the middle of nowhere. All I got is the Most High's creation around me, and I'm almost at a loss for words for just the excitement that I have to get out there and just, just be like kind of got my Enoch, right? Where Enoch just kind of peeled back and took himself away from society, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
And I made a comment that the next time I was going to bring you on, or bring you and Bri on, is like, hopefully you guys were getting ready to have a baby, being with child, and then just being patient and listening to your story, and also just kind of knowing you, on a personal basis throughout this whole time, and even the wedding, and then hear you say you're about to move to North Carolina. I feel like now I understand, like, it's all in Yah's timing. Like, he didn't give you this child because you wouldn't be able to do this move while having a newborn at the same time, bro. Like,
Oh,
you would have been all over the place trying to get
you know
that
it, brother. You know it. Like,
done.
when I say, man, and to recap, the last time we had a miscarriage when we went on the episode last time. We had another one within that year that we came on your podcast the first time. So again, we grew from that. It wasn't as hard as the first one. It brought Bree closer to the Most High. It brought us closer. And we accepted the fact that, hey, man, it's not in our timing. It's just not. And it doesn't mean the Most High is out here straight punishing us and saying we're not, whatever the case is, we just accept the Most High's will for us. And like you said, I can't imagine right now being able to pack up this house, do up this whole process, and have a newborn at the same time. So like you said, man, the Most High's timing is perfect. He's never early, he's never late. He's right on time, always. And you gotta just trust in his path. And yeah, of course we wanted to have a child during that time, but it's just that recognition of, hey, this, who are we? We are humble servants at the end of the day. We don't dictate nothing. There are many other righteous men, or much better men, that have come before us in scripture. Abraham over here, about to sacrifice his son, Isaac, comes back, Sarah, his wife is dead. Like, who am I to, oh, I want a child right now. Like, you know what I mean? So we have to just humble ourselves and remind ourselves that we are just humble servants, and we just have to trust in him. And he wants to see that obedience, that endurance, that patience, and if you cling to it, man, he's going to give you what your heart's desire is. Truly, he is. Like when I say this North Carolina move is, it's a dream come true, man. Like it really is, and there's nothing that I did. It's the Most High laid this out for me. He is the one that made it happen. It had nothing, and it just aligned perfectly. So, amen.
I know because that we somehow bounce stories off of one another, and we realize that we kind of somewhat share the same timeline or narratives that happen in our lives. But so we're preparing to do a home birth. So I know if it comes up, Bree said, hey, I want to have this baby at home. I'm just going to say, since we already aligned, that it may happen, that you may have to just go ahead and buy that baby pool and just get ready to have a little home birth.
You already know. Facts. She's already been talking about it. She's already been talking about it. We're not too fond of the medical industry, you know. So
Okay.
I totally respect and understand that, and I give y'all props for that too, because a lot of the families, when they hear like you're not going through a hospital, or oh my gosh, something can go wrong. Are you? It's like, well, you see, y'all don't have a relationship with the Most High. Like, not saying that little things still can't go wrong, but when you have faith in Him, you know He's gonna take care of it, right?
Right.
And our fa and families will be like, well, because you have to go to a hospital because they have all the instruments there and this and this and that. And it's like, well, what were they doing in
Boom.
Scripture days? They didn't have no hospitals back then, and they're
Right.
having successful births. So like, miss me with that, right? So yeah, man, it's she's already been talking about it. I think she's gonna do exactly what your wife is doing with the same process.
Good. That's I'll make sure we were both prepared on that front.
Right.
So how do you also prepare for what else is coming too? Like, we know it's going to be an economic crisis. Are you affected anyway if there is AI to jump on the scene tomorrow? Are you affected by AI or technology in your workplace?
No, not at the moment, but again, as we see in today's climate with government shutdown, other companies, they're making big cuts and shortages. People are losing their jobs, even without AI. So on top of AI, we have a whole nother ball of society that's losing their jobs. So
Wow.
I'm not affected by AI right now, but it doesn't mean that my job can't be affected by just the overall climate of the economics of the economy. So at the end of the day, man, I just chalk it up to the Most High. I just know that, hey, whatever we're living in right now is a blessing. It could be taken from us at any point in time. The roof over our head could be taken from us. Our vehicles could be taken from us. But does that mean that our spirit changes or anything like that? No. We weren't owed anything in this life. So you have to prepare your mind that everything that we have is borrowed and given by the Most High Himself to you. So you just give your praise and grateful and give thanks and live in each day present, because tomorrow it can change. We're not guaranteed to wake up tomorrow. You know what I mean? So just having that in the back of your mind where, yeah, instability can come in the blink of an eye. Even if you got your savings right, even if you think you got a job that's never gonna leave, man, we don't know. Like I said, Revelation tells it, like we
Right.
know things are gonna be happening, and it's gonna affect everybody. But the whole point of growing close to the Most High is that we are covered during this time. And yeah, we may lose our house, we may lose a car, you may lose your job, but He's still gonna cover you. He's still gonna make sure you are gonna be covered. You won't be out here. We're still gonna everyone's gonna struggle at some point in time, and
Right.
when this all shifts. We're not gonna all be living the same life that we all live in right now. But again, prepare your mind for things to change at any moment, and just give thanks for each day you have.
Right. Being that we were both football players, do you see, I mean, from the stories and narratives that have been popping up lately, have you seen sports take on the personality of Baal, like the sacrificing that's done, the things that are so blatant that people don't understand, but it's really, really blatant, especially with the football player Nealon, Marshawn Nealon. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh man, I think at this point, bro, it's completely out in the open. I think we didn't see it when we played, and if I mean, it might have been a little hint they were trying to cover it up, or it was very subliminal. But now, I mean, especially you do a great job of breaking down the gematria aspect with the numerology of how all these dates and everything, all these things line up, because this is part of the matrix grid. This is the beast system, and when we partake in the beast system, football, basketball, we are accepting that contract essentially to be uncovered. And when you're uncovered, All you have to do is your name's got to pull up in some type of gematria code, and they and the beast, the Baal system says, well, I'm gonna use him as a sacrifice, and you may not even know it. That I don't know if my man that just passed was involved in anything like that. I don't think he was a Freemason, but it doesn't matter because you're in the beast system, and
Right.
it's just real fishy, bro. But like I've never seen it like this, where it's just this app went open, and sports have completely changed for me, man. Like where I never thought growing up that I would get to a point, where I wouldn't even enjoy it at all. Like nothing about it is even appetizing to me anymore. And it just seems like I said, the true colors are coming out in sports. True colors are coming out in this nation, this world, society. And this is all part, it's written. It says this. So what we used to be attached to, and people that are still attached to this world, yeah, you have to let this world go. For those that are still attached to it, that still, follow celebrities, that still follow, these, watch the world closely. Unless you want to go down with the world, you got to let it go.
Right. It's and it's almost like what really did it for me was the was RG3 and the quarterback for the Commanders, how they both got hurt on the same yard line against the same team. Like it's like and then Tyreek Hill's injury when he breaks his leg wearing number 10, and he literally did it in the same numeric timeline as the movie Him that came out. Did you get to see that movie?
I didn't get to see it, but I listened to your podcast that talked about it. And again, people forget because people like to always depict that or try to tear that apart by being fleshly, of like, oh, do you really think he purposely twisted his leg? Man, do you forget magic exists? It's called dark magic, black magic. You understand that's real. Like people forget that this stuff is real. So it doesn't mean that Tyreek knew he was gonna actually twist his knee that play. It's magic. This is why they have sorceries, witches. This is all real. What Tom Brady's wife or ex-wife, remember he came out talking about how she would perform these little witch-like, ceremonies before the game. Like they tell you right in your face. And it's evident that that's what they're doing. So the fact, how do you explain what you just said, where it's two different injuries at two different points in time on the same yard line? It's the same way how 9/11, right? When Bush, George Bush is over here in the school reading that what was it, IPEC GOAT book, when he was reading it upside down, simultaneously as the children that were in the classroom were talking about, they were chanting, plane must crash. They were doing a legitimate witchcraft magic ritual right there. And then 2 seconds after they got done with it, you see the Secret Service agent come up to George Bush and say, America's just been attacked. That's what we're talking about. Same level, but in sports. So that's what we're seeing now.
I don't think people understand it also because they don't read scripture. And if you actually go to the book of Tobit, like not mind you, it is just breaking legs or getting in a little injury where you can come back from. But in the book of Tobit, there was a demon obsessed with this Israelite woman, and he kept killing and strangling her husbands. Like I'm talking about something that doesn't that has never taken form or have a body is had the ability to kill off seven husbands before they even consummated the marriage. So we're not even talking about breaking legs in sports. We're talking about demons who actually had the power to kill. And I think when you go back to I think Jubilees or the Book of Jasher, it talks about this demon named Mastema said that asked the Most High, you allow some demons to be underneath me so I can work my will on the minds or in the flesh of men, because these are for leading astray and for judgment. And people don't understand the spiritual world we live in. Like, how do you think all these things happen in this world? Like, how do you think clouds stay up in the sky or the sun rotates and moves? Like, it's all if the Most High removed this veil, people would be shocked of how many demons and like these disembodied ruachs are just all around waiting for judgment and damnation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what will all fleshy people tell you? Oh, Larry, that's just fantasy. That stuff doesn't exist. That stuff doesn't exist. Again, where do you when the fallen angels were kicked out of heaven, where do you think they went? They can't go back to heaven. So where they've been here since they've been kicked out, and they're what? They're angels, so they don't die. They have immortality, right? So where do you think they've been hanging around? They're here. They've been here, and it's just generation thousands of years worth of demons with the fallen angels. They're just because we can't physically see them right now does not mean they're not everywhere. So
Right.
again, the importance of scripture, the importance of establishing that, obtaining that full spiritual armor from the Most High, you know, that is, we need that more than you know, because it is so simple and so easy for any of us to get caught up in this world if we don't have that covering. And it's a daily battle, right? We're battling not flesh, but principalities each and every day. So if we're not covered or trying to stay prayed up or in that word every day, you know, make it a point. And I say this to, you know, anybody that's following this way and this truth, that make it a point that you're reading every day, even if it's just a chapter, you know, just get show the Most High that he's first in your life, that it's not, you're not putting him down the back burner and you've got all these other lifely things that are more important to him. Make sure you're in that word, make sure you're staying prayed up, and make sure you're covered.
Right. And you brought up a good point, because what are these watchers, these fallen angels who are just down here, just waiting? What are they going to do when they see Yahusha coming through the clouds with his angels and the 144,000? Do they fight against him, or do they be like, "Look, y'all got it, man. I'm just waiting around for judgment." Like, it's
Great.
interesting what's going to happen.
That's a great question, man. And I hope we're blessed to be able to see it, or if not, at least the generation behind us will. But that's a great question. I would think they petrified. I would think that they already know what's written. They're done. Like, once that happens. So but at the same time, you know, Satan thinks he's trying to be like the Most High. And does he brainwash his demons into thinking that they got a chance? Like, yeah, we got a chance against this. We, you know, just how people try to, like, you know, the Bill Gateses, the Elon Musks of this world try to think, like, they think that, like, they can hide under these bunkers, or that, oh, Most High's not gonna find me. Man, you're talking to the Creator. You don't think he know every little hole or crevice in this world? Ain't no hiding. Ain't no hiding. So yeah, man, I don't know how it's gonna go, but I am definitely look. I can't wait for it to hear that ram's horn blown in the air, man. I hope we're blessed enough to hear it and see it.
And then the funny thing is, people are gonna bring out their phones and like do the selfie at the clouds and all that, and they don't know they're gonna be the tear that's gonna be consumed, and you're gonna see people live streaming, and then all of a sudden, boom, gone and from out of here.
And man, I wouldn't even be surprised if they try to, like, cover it with that whole, you know, what's that, Project Bluebeam, like all these holograms and stuff they're gonna have. Like I said, man, at this point in time with AI, with you can't believe nothing, even though we shouldn't be believing anything that mainstream be talking about now. If you're not spiritually connected to scripture and the Most High and Yahusha, your eyes are going to fail you. They're going to deceive you, because you're going to look up in the air, just like when you go to Las Vegas, you see that big dome ball that they have that turns into like a hologram. It looks real, right? It looks real, but it's not. They're going to do that on a mass scale, where you're going to look, the average person is going to look up and say, "Well, see, you don't see that, but it's a hologram, right?" So I think the enemy, the enemy knows its people, as far as the ones that the Most High has given them over to, and they know exactly how to deceive them. So me and you, if we're blessed enough, again, according to the Most High's will, we could see what really is. Meanwhile, everybody else will see the hologram.
And I bet you if we look at the date or look at the time, it'll have 33 in it, or have 666 in it, and it'll basically be like, "Bro, you see this?" Like,
You
it'd be
already
funny, you
know.
see this.
You already know. They're not, they will never let go of their symbolism, their numerology. That's what they've been living by for thousands of years. This is what they've got. It's Satan's mockery of his own, of the Most High. He created his own matrix to mirror and pervert the Most High's, what Most High created. So, like we talked, like you said, Most High uses numerology with 40 days, 40 nights, 7 days. He has his own numerology. So what does Satan do? 33, you know, all these different numbers that they are glued to. And then you have all these other entities that are, you know, working with them and all part of this. So of course they're going to always leave their trademark stamp on it, with some type of connection where those who have eyes can see what it really is.
How do we prepare our wives for what's coming? Because I know if we, we have sensitive wives and women that they worry over us and they worry a lot. How can we prepare them for the devastation and destruction that's going to happen, even if it's not happening to them, but maybe around them? How do we prepare?
I would say just continuing to lead them and providing that safety and reassurance that as husbands and men of the household, they don't got to worry about nothing, because that's our job. That's our job to worry about how we're going to provide, how we're going to take, we're taking care of them. They don't got to worry about taking care of themselves. They have us as the covering. Mm-hmm. So that takes away their worries. So I would continue to reestablish that you just continue to cling to me, and I'm going to continue to show you that I'm the righteous man that I claim to be, and continue to lead you properly. You don't got to worry about the rest. Mm-hmm. Just as the Most High says to us, as, you know, Yahushua as being our covering, we cling to him and make sure that we're, you know, staying right and being obedient, following the law, statutes, commandments. We don't have to worry about the ins and outs. We know that Yahushua is going to protect us or keep us in a position where we won't be a victim, or we won't be in a position where we're out here, oh, what are we going to do, man? It's going to test your faith. So to answer your question with our women, I just continue to show that we are the foundation of the household, the authority of the household, and to remind them that, hey, it's our duty to protect you. It's our duty. We were built for this. That's why we are men, because when push comes to shove, somebody comes and tries to take your life, I'm here to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, so that's reestablishing that firmness in that I got you no matter what.
Right. And I mean, let me say this for the single women out there too. The reason why you are single right now and may be single throughout this destruction is because you have the rock of strength that allows you to prepare yourself and let Yahuwah be your shield, your husband, and your protector and your coverer. You are in a situation because he knows that you can take it. Some of us are given wives that are very, very emotional, very, very sensitive, and very, very featherly light, because they cannot handle these type of events that's going to happen by themselves. So I know for a fact that the Most High gave me a very soft, very gentle woman, because she could not handle what's coming by herself. It would completely destroy her. And she makes jokes with, like, oh, you always prepared for war. You just want war. That's how I'm set up. I'm set up to be a defender, warrior, or protector, what have you. You should just relax, you know, rest in that benefit, that you don't have to do what some of these single women have to do, to go to stores where people are looting or raiding, going to store, like trying to find resources at home. The reason why you women are in the single era or single season right now is because you already built for war. You already built to withstand all the pressure that comes upon a household. So that's why some of us are giving women, because the Most High knows they're not going to be able to stand on their 2 feet while this goes down. So you guys are prepared. And after this is said and done, then you get your rest and get your Boaz per se, or get your David, or get your, you know, your Yasharel or what have you. So I think it all depends on the season and the era you in, but don't feel disheartened when you feel like your husband is not coming before destruction. Like, there's a reason for it. It's to prove you and try you, just like me and Matt said. It's all about, you know, purging you and trying you as gold is tried in the fire. And like Matt said, eloquently, that you may be in the fire, but you won't be burned. You won't die from it. It's just to try you and prove you. So now that we reach to the other side of marriage, now that we're trying to instruct and correct our women, what do you feel now is the next test? I mean, after you pass certain tests and you are comfortable in what to expect in a marriage, what do you think the next biggest test is?
Just continuing to walk the walk, ma'am, and endure. Because like I said, there's going to be test upon test, and that's for everybody, whether you're married, whether you're single. And again, just to speak to the single, whether you're single men or women, just because you're single right now does not mean the Most High has forsaken you. It does not mean that he's not going to bless you. Like I said, when this stuff starts to hit, it says in Revelation that seven women will cling to a man, or whatever right. The case is. Mm-hmm. So just because you're currently single does not mean that when time does hit, the Most High is going to have your essentially knight in shining armor come and protect you. But the point that you have to do as women is to make sure that you're aligned right with the Most High and make sure you are working your best to be what Scripture calls you to be. And men that are single right now, you need to do the same thing, where it doesn't mean just because you don't have a wife to cover does not mean you won't, because in these days, when that happens, you might go from not having any to having, you know, to having multiple women that are clinging for your protection.
Right,
So don't get caught up in the present moment. Remember, it's the Most High's timing. He can see what's coming. We can't. So we just have to endure so that we show that we are worthy of those blessings when they come.
Awesome, awesome. That's an awesome note to end on. I thank you, my brother, for filling this space and time for me. It's good to check in with you and bounce some wisdom and understanding off of you, because we almost feel like we share the same mind, but you say it so well. And sometimes I do be having that hard head with you when you be trying to correct me. I'm like, man, he's so right. I don't like it. But let me go ahead and try what he said. Go try right quick. And then I come back to you like, Matt, it worked.
Brother, that's what iron sharpens iron, man. Right. And again, I'm blessed that the Most High has placed us in each other's lives. You know, you have helped me in many ways that you'll never know. So it's all praises to him. And like I said, man, for all of us in this community, man, I just want us to remember at the end of the day that we're the remnant. So let's not get caught up in small divisionary things that might divide us within this walk. This world is already stacked against us. When we as long as you're seeking Yahuwah, Yahushua, trying to follow these commandments, these laws, statutes, at the end of the day, the details of things, of how people specifically worship, that's, you know, keep that between you and the Most High, your household. But at the end of the day, we need to come, you know, just continue to build each other up, because that we're such a small remnant out here. And we have to remember that, because as you say, when you pick your head up and look around the world, there's not many out here trying to actually walk the walk.
Right.
So just remember that, you know, this is keep the Most High first. And if you come across people in this walk, make sure you appreciate them, show compassion, show love, and uplift and build them. And because at the end of the day, we few out here.
Right. True that. So I appreciate you again, my brother, for coming on, and have a safe move, bro. I hope it's a fast and swift and safe move, that you get to the house and you forget that you ever packed and ever packed up all these things, and just boom, snap your fingers and you're already there.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me again, and I'll definitely keep you posted on the move.
All right, for sure.
All right, brother. All right.